Blog Talk Radio.
About Eastern Airlines every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on your computer's internet dial. www.aeaoradioshow.com or at www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. That's CAPTEDDIE. The hosts for the radio show are from many different locations: South, North, and Central Florida, North Carolina, up there in the snow country right now, New York, Pennsylvania, and on occasion, Martha's Vineyard. Before we introduce our host, our producer has an appropriate song for this particular show. Mr. Producer, are you ready to go?
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart-to-heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything. If you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. And you will be happy too.
You know, Jimmy Durante had it right years ago when he recorded that song, Make Someone Happy. What a great resolution that would be for the coming year. Make someone happy. Jim?
You got it, Neil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our hosts for tonight's broadcast include, among other people, Chuck Albright. Chuck, you're in the middle of the state of Florida in America's favorite retirement village. What has happened to you since the new year came in last Wednesday?
Well, one of the More drastic things that happened. We have joined the upper portion of the United States, and we're going to drop down to 28 degrees tonight. It's going to be cloudy with about a 10 or 20 mile an hour wind. Tomorrow we're getting up to a balmy 45 degrees. Jim?
Oh, well, Neil Holland is our producer and engineer in the beautiful Punta Vedra, Florida area. That's near St. Augustine. Neil, what kind of plans have you started now for the new year?
Well, Chuck, about the same temperature, Chuck, you're experiencing there in the villages there just south of Ocala, We're just north of you, probably about an hour and a half. And we, too, are experiencing chilly temperatures outside. Tonight, it's probably getting down to about 25 in the low 20s, they say. And I'm sure that that is going to be disturbing to those people that believe they're still here in Florida. Jim?
Well, I'll tell you, our official Yankee living in New York is usually Mr. George Jin. However, George is unable to be with us tonight, but Captain Steve is going to take his place because they're both in about the same situation with Captain Steve in the mountains of North Carolina, where I think the only way you can get out of the house is on snowshoes. Right, Steve?
Jim, we don't have any precipitation on the ground here whatsoever.
Oh.
But the temperature is, I think, colder than in New York. The temperature, I just checked the outside temperature now, and it is 7 degrees, and the forecasted wind chill factor for tonight is a minus 15. Not a good place to be.
Well, John Roos is with us, too.
Oh, and now from beautiful Boca Raton, Florida, is just down the street from me here in West Palm Beach, is Cecile Intriago. Cecile, what do you and Charles have planned for this new year, except for selling three homes this last weekend? Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, right now I'm going to go get my socks because it's 60 degrees and it's supposed to get down to 48, and it's going to get cold here. I'm not used to this. But we're going to keep busy and stay warm.
John Ruth, up in the Philadelphia area, is our travel expert. Any special plans that you have set for the new year, John? John Ruth.
I thought John was with us, but apparently he's not. We've got another caller on the line, but area code 631, if you'd like to make a comment, now's the time to do so. We'd like to hear your comment if you'd like to do so. Area code 631. Okay.
Hello.
Jim?
Have Frank Signord in Long Island, New York, talking.
Oh, my God. Frank, welcome to the show. Tell us about New York.
My pleasure. While we haven't hit the cold yet, the temperature is dropping. It's supposed to go down to 10 degrees tonight and not go above 15 degrees tomorrow.
Ooh.
So we're all getting the cold weather, I guess.
Yeah.
I started with Eastern Airlines in 1952, and most of my time was at LaGuardia Airport, a few years over at Kennedy. Also worked a short period of time for Charlie Buckland down in Miami. And I saw the writing on the wall, and I guess I bailed out, and I took a job with the Pan Am shuttle at LaGuardia, and I was the director of their operation at LaGuardia. But like Eastern, Pan Am went out of business, and I finished my working career working for a college on Long Island, and that's what you hear from Frank Signor.
Very good, Frank. Welcome to the show, and we hope you'll come back with us often.
I will.
We need a good, strong voice, and it sounds like you've got one from the New York area. We do have one of our hosts is George Jin, who is babysitting for his daughter's child this evening, unable to be with us, but we'd love to have another voice from the New York area. So, Frank, welcome to the show, and we've got a few predictions, right, Jim? Would you continue on?
Yeah. Yes, we do. First, now that leaves me as the only remaining host for the evening, and I'm Jim Hart, and I'm here in West Palm Beach, Florida, where the weather right now is just about 60 degrees. As Cecile said, it's going down. It only got up to about 70 today, and they tell us that tomorrow morning we're going to wake up to something in the high 40s or low 50s. But nevertheless, when we look at our television and we see that snow blowing sideways in front of the headlights on the automobiles, we are just so happy to be down here. Although I have a home on the island of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, I've talked with them today. They had 10 inches of snow yesterday, but it's all gone because it's raining there right now. We have a little bit of housekeeping to do before we go into our program, and our listeners can join our hosts at any time during the broadcast and share their thoughts and memories of Eastern or ask any questions of your hosts and guests, just like you did, Frank, a few minutes ago. Our telephone contact to be live on the air is 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Either number will get you into our caller board where you can join in our discussion. Just don't forget, if you wish to be with us and join in on this discussion, press number 1 on your telephone keypad. Now, let's hear what airline executives foresee in their projections for the coming years. Neil, how about starting our projections? You must have a few.
Okay, well, let's talk about what we've found that we think that would be of interest, and mainly those CEOs, chief executive officers of some of the airlines, the carriers that are operating today. Millions of people step aboard airplanes each day complaining about the lack of legroom and overhead space, but almost taking for granted that they can travel thousands of miles in just a few hours. Wednesday, January 1st, marked the 100th anniversary of the first commercial flight, a 23-mile hop across Florida's Tampa Bay. The St. Petersburg-Tampa Airport boat line, airboat line was subsidized by St. Petersburg officials who wanted more winter tourists in their city. The alternative was an 11-hour train ride from Tampa. So quite a difference, 23 minutes as opposed to 11 hours. Pilot Tony Janus had room for just one passenger that day, January 1st, which was just a few days ago, but 100 years ago. And this one passenger sat next to Tony Janus. 3 months later, when tourism season ended, so did the subsidy. The airline had carried 1,204 passengers, but would never fly again. With that, the anniversary in mind, the Associated Press reached out of today's aviation leaders to see what they are predicting for the future of flying, and answers have been edited for length and clarity. So, Steve, what have you got from some of the airline executives in the next 5 years?
Well, Neil, in 5 years, Richard Anderson, CEO, Delta Airlines, just over a decade ago, airlines seemed to be buying every 50-seat aircraft that they could get their hands on. But the real utility of these small jets has come and gone, and in the next 5 years, we'll see their number in the U.S. continue to dwindle. Gary Kelly, CEO, Southwest Airlines, we'll have fewer airlines, but they will be bigger, stronger, and healthier. Maurice Gallagher, Jr., CEO, Allegiant Travel Company, the next 5 years will be about increasing automation and decreasing labor costs. The industry is about implementing mobile boarding passes, bag drops, even self-boarding. These processes will become more prevalent and significantly reduce the number of employees the customer needs to interact with. Chuck.
Well, in about 25 years, David Banger, CEO of JetBlue Airways, he said the freedom to travel between any 2 points in the world will become commonplace. There will be billions of travelers every year flying on new aircraft, that will be environmentally friendly. In fact, they will be making zero carbon travel, maybe even a reality. Mark Dunkerley, of CEO of Hawaiian Airlines, many of today's consumers will be priced out of the air, a sad legacy to 30 years of mass progress in the air travel. Failure to invest in aviation infrastructure and the insatiable appetite for regulation will not be offset by relatively modest further improvements in aircraft efficiency. James Hogan, CEO of Athena Airlines, a new generation of airlines who will have vision and willingness to be different will succeed in cutting costs, improving productivity, finding affordable ways of increasing new markets. The emerging markets, the Middle East, Africa, Southeast Asia, will become established markets. Abu Dhabi, one of the uniting global hubs. Jim?
Steve.
Yes, Sir Richard Branson, president of Virgin Atlantic Airways, I have no doubt during my lifetime we will be able to fly from London to Sydney in under 2 hours with a minimal environmental impact. The awe-inspiring views of our beautiful planet below and zero-gravity passenger fun will bring a whole new meaning to in-flight entertainment. Jeff Smisek, CEO United Airlines, the airframe and engine manufacturers continue to develop aircraft that are more fuel efficient, have lower maintenance costs, and have greater range and utility. Longer term, I believe manufacturers will explore engine and airframe technology that would significantly reduce travel times, but advances in this area would have to be safe and economical to make a real impact in our industry.
Cecile?
In 100 years, David Siegel, CEO of Frontier Airlines, said the first flight was just 18 miles long, but now look at how far we can go. Perhaps in the future, experts will be designing futuristic propulsion systems. We could see innovations in aircraft design, local community-based air transport with smaller, higher efficiency aircraft, and maybe even pilotless commercial aircraft. Doug Parker, CEO of American Airlines, said, I am quite certain that Tony Janus never could have imagined the size and importance of commercial aviation today or the impact it had on changing our world. Similarly, I cannot imagine what commercial aviation will look like in 2114. I imagine whatever state it is, though, it will be extremely important and its continued development will be a key part of the story that built that world. Ben Baldanza, CEO of Spirit Airlines, says, Google's put me there. Technology implemented into its maps software renders all airlines obsolete.
When we think of technology, we normally think of high-flying stocks like Facebook and Twitter, or popular consumer product companies like Apple and Samsung. But despite relying on a relatively stable practice, putting passengers on airplanes for nearly a century, airlines are becoming more tech-centered than ever. In the process, this creates everything from angry flyers to an emergency airline business model that could play a major role in airline earnings growth. Free fares in September, United, Continental, surprised many flyers with an unannounced extreme fare sale. Trouble was, United never intended the low fares to happen. A glitch caused the United reservation system to offer fares that were free except for the 9/11 security fee of $2.50 per leg.
Yay.
After reviewing the matter, the airline decided to honor the fares, a smart move since not doing so could have caused a public relations nightmare. Steve.
But United isn't the only airline to give out unplanned discounts. On December 26, 2013, Delta Airlines had a similar problem, selling tickets for fractions of their typical price. The problem has since been corrected. Sorry, we no more nearly free tickets. And Delta said in a statement it will honor the fares. Due to airline disclaimers, airlines do not legally have to honor these fares, but have chosen to do so to avoid damaging their public image. In the event of enough fares being sold that an airline would face significant financial harm, the airline would still be protected. For now, these glitches are more temporary nuisance for the airlines and are nowhere near as bad as another type of computer issue. Chuck.
We have systems issues and angry passengers. Airline reservation systems are extremely powerful tools that handle millions of passengers and are the backbone of operation. The trouble is, they always don't always function correctly. Far more serious than the free fare glitch were the computer glitches experienced at United Continental as United Airlines and Continental Airlines merged. Although the time period of the glitches lasted were relatively small, they still left flyers with a negative impression of the carrier, possibly hurting future purchases. But reservation system crashes aren't unique to United Continental. Only a couple of months after announcing the merger that would evidently create today's American Airlines Group, the American Airlines reservation system went down, grounded all flights for hours. The delays, the cancellation, reminded airline and passengers of the negative side of computer reservation system. But airlines now have a major opportunity for their business models by employing the latest in technology and data collection. Jim?
Hello?
Steve, I guess.
Whoever took George's place.
Yes. The 21st Century Sky Mall. Flyers are familiar with the Sky Mall magazines in the pockets of the backs of airplane seats, but airlines are finding new ways to cash in on a flyer's desire to spend. Data collection is already big business in other fields. Retailers know what you bought, when you bought it, and sometimes even why you bought it. But even retailers can't contain their customers in metal tubes 30,000 feet in the air for hours on end. This is where airlines are ready to shine, with broad-based pushes to generate high-margin ancillary revenue through things like check bags, ticket change fees. Airlines are looking for new ways to increase ancillary revenue without introducing more anger-inducing fees. Now, with the data collection abilities available to major airlines, carriers have a treasure trove of data at their disposal. So far, airlines are taking it too slow. The Wall Street Journal reported that American Airlines could record flyers' meal choices, but instructs flight attendants not to, fearing flyers would feel their privacy was being violated. Even so, data available on board other airlines includes things like birthdays, previous purchases, upgrades, and even whether a flyer already ate at the airport and would rather be left alone. All this allows airlines to target services and promotions uniquely to flyers rather than the blanket approach previously seen. Best of all, if airlines can generate additional revenue through targeted selling rather than fees for everything, passengers have more choice and are likely to be more satisfied overall. Cecile.
Technology for the society. All the trouble having reservation system crashes and glitches. Technology is setting up to be the next source for ancillary revenue for airlines. Using data collection techniques already in use in other industries to target products, boosting both earnings and margins. For the first time since the early days of this country, we're in a position to dominate the global manufacturing landscape thanks to a single revolutionary technology, 3D printing. Although this sounds like something out of a science fiction novel, the success of 3D printing is already a foregone conclusion to many manufacturers around the world. The trick now is to identify the companies and thereby the stocks that will give prevail in the battle for market share. To see the three companies that are currently positioned to do so, simply download our invaluable free report on the topic by clicking here now.
Neil?
Well, I'd like to talk about one of my favorite authors who authored many, many, many books, Isaac Asimov. If you've never heard of Isaac Asimov, his last name is spelled A-S-I-M-O-V. He was born January 2nd of 1920. He passed away April 6th, 1922. He was an American author and professor of biochemistry at Boston University. And he's best known for his works of science fiction and for his popular science books. Asimov was one of the most prolific writers of all time, having written or edited more than 500 books and an estimated 90,000 letters and postcards. Among many words and phrases he was credited with is the word robotics, which has become more in use in today's technology, robotics. In 1964, Isaac Asimov ventured a guess at what you might find if you set foot inside the 2014 World's Fair. Using his gift for envisioning future technology, Asimov's prediction from 50 years ago are both stunningly accurate and perhaps a little bit depressing. Here's a look at what he got right. Jim?
Steve. The appliances of 2014 will have no electric cords, of course. Much effort will be put into the designing of vehicles with robotic brains. By 2014, only unmanned ships will have landed on Mars, though a manned expedition will be in the works. And in 2014, Futurama will show a model of an elaborate Martian colony for short-range travel, moving sidewalks with benches on either side, standing room in the center, will be making their appearance in downtown sections. In 2014, there is every likelihood that the world population will be 6,500,000,000 and the population of the United States will be 350 million. Jim?
Jim Hart, before you make a comment, I'd like to comment on his predictions as far as the world population. He was only off just a few hundred million people out of the 6.5. I think it was 6.7. And the United States was right about on what he targeted 50 years ago, running at about 350 million people. Absolutely amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I think we'll have now also synchronous satellites hovering in space, and that will make it possible for you to direct dial any spot on Earth.
Wow.
As far as communications, they will become sight, sound, and you will see as well as hear the person on your telephone. Indeed, the most somber speculation I can make about AD 2014 is that in a society of enforced leisure, the most glamorous single word in the vocabulary will have become work. Steve?
It is worth noting that while quite impressive, Asimov didn't get everything right. 2014 will almost surely come and go without jets of compressed air that will lift land vehicles off of the highways. He also predicted that the entire East Coast from Boston to Washington would merge into one large megacity, which seems unlikely at this point in time. But perhaps the most telling and disheartening is Aseminoff's inaccurate notion that we'd even have a World's Fair in 2014. But still, you must admit, it's pretty darn good. And now our own panel of experts share their quick predictions with you, our listeners. Now, we'll revisit these in January 2015 to see if any or all come true. Now, the first subject is Eastern Airlines flying in 2014. And
Chuck,
I predict that it will not happen.
Chuck.
Chuck, I agree with you. It's going to be a little bit longer.
Jim.
I'm optimistic. If it does happen, it's going to happen just before the holiday period in the year 2014. That is Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter.
Cecile.
I agree with the others. I don't think it's going to happen in 2015. If it does happen, it'll probably be by 2016.
Okay, this is Neil, the last one that will make a prediction. I predict that they will have announced that they are a formed and an airline to the public. However, I don't believe the first flight will happen in 2014. My predictions is that they will have just about everything in place. However, it won't happen as far as schedule operations this year. Hopefully, again, 2015. How about airline mergers in 2014? Any predictions here by our host?
And this is Steve, and I have no predictions.
I think most of the major ones have already been done right now. I think you'll see some of the smaller ones get gobbled up. I don't know any right offhand. I haven't researched it enough. This is Chuck, but I think there will be some small mergers coming up in 14.
This is Jim. I think you'll see some in the regional. In fact, I was very surprised recently to learn that Texas Air, or Frontier Air, is serving, of all things, the Mercer County Airport in Trenton,
New Jersey,
and they're flying south. I believe it's to Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and maybe Tampa.
Well,
this is Cecile. I predict that the airline industry is going to be similar to the banking industry, and we'll end up with about 5 or 6 strong airlines, and that'll be it. They'll all be merging like the banking industry did.
Any thoughts about passengers for orbital flight in 2014?
I predict there will be a sold out passenger list for orbital flights in 2014.
But no flights.
You might be right on the passenger list, but I don't think anybody's going into orbit. I think it's about 10 years away.
Yeah. How about airlines going out of are starting up a business in 2014, with the exception of Eastern, which we've already talked about. But any predictions of any airlines going out of business?
No. This is Jim.
No, I have none.
Have none, no.
No.
Ditto.
No, I don't either.
Well, any other predictions? Go ahead, Jim.
I predict that the next thing that's going to happen is that when you are on your flight and you have to go to the restroom, they're going to ask for a dollar.
They had it way back, if you all remember, they had where you had to pay and most people just crawled under. I don't know how we could do that in the new airplane, though. You had to pay a
real door.
Yeah, yeah.
What else is left?
Well,
I don't know, but I think a lot of those fairs are going to go by the wayside, and you're going to see the technology take over. People are going to pay, would rather pay for the technology than to buy another pillow. So if the airlines are smart, that's the way to go. They're going to get the revenue.
Chuck, I think you've got something here. This past year, we had a menu airline. You selected and you paid for menu items. What did you want to pay for having your luggage shipped and so forth? And I think they're going to get away from that, and I think we're going to have a base price, and you pay for that. And the services are going to go back to the way it was in the past. I certainly hope so.
I read an article about Korean Air. You know, they are the number one airline in the world for passenger service. And some of the things that are very innovative that they have on their aircraft, and I think that that's going to trickle down into the other airlines if they're going to compete for international passengers, because they're going to get used to that really nice treatment. Not to say that the fares are any cheaper or anything, but I think the treatment that some of these airlines are giving overseas is a heck of a lot better than what we're getting in the United States.
I agree
Jim?
With you, Chuck.
Yeah. Jim, will you take us out of here?
I sure will. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's good having you with us tonight, and we hope you'll be with us again. I think I hear the champagne music in the background here, so we must bring this show to a close at this time. From all of your hosts, it's been great being with you in the year 2013. We hope you will continue to listen to the voice of Eastern Airlines Radio for all of this coming year. You know, we are in year number 4, I believe, right now. And from all of us here at the EAL Radio Show, until next week, keep the blue side up, have plenty of airspeed and plenty of altitude, and may all of your landings be just grease jobs. Happy New Year, everyone, and good night, Eastern family.
Night,
Happy
Eastern.
New Year, everyone. Good night.
Adios. Au revoir.